Welcome to Christian Chapel Online. We're thrilled that you are joining us today. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor at Christian Chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you're joining us in the Tulsa area, we would love for you to join us in person. We believe that every individual is created for a relationship with Jesus and relationships with other believers, and those are best experienced in person. If you're joining us from outside of our area, we would encourage you to find a local community of believers where you live so you can find the same deep and meaningful experiences of relationships in the context of a faith community. Thanks again for joining us today. We pray that the worship service you're about to experience encourages you to continue to move forward in your relationship with Jesus.
Today, Pastor Chris has asked me to speak on the wisdom of leaving a legacy. Leaving a legacy is something everyone leaves behind. Some leave money. Some leave accomplishments. Some leave memories. Some leave wounds. Some leave wisdom. But everybody leaves something. The question is not, will I leave a legacy? The question is, what kind of legacy will I leave? Proverbs 17:6 gives us a beautiful picture of God's design for families. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of their children are their fathers. That verse reminds us that God has always worked through generations. A godly life is never meant to stop with us. God's desire is that what He does in our lives would influence our children, our grandchildren, and possibly generations we may never live long enough to see. A wise person will live with the future in mind. When most people think of leaving a legacy, they think of, oh, these extraordinary moments. They think about a great accomplishment, something that's going to make their name remembered. But Scripture gives us a very different picture. A godly legacy is not built by extraordinary moments, but by ordinary faithfulness sustained over a lifetime. It is built through thousands of small decisions, a prayer prayed at bedtime, a conversation at the kitchen table, a commitment to worship when it'd be easier to stay home, a willingness to serve others. Those moments may seem ordinary, but God uses ordinary faithfulness to shape generations. That's why Proverbs places such value on grandparents and parents. Wisdom is not just information we pass along. It is to provide a spiritual and a moral orientation toward God. It's to help future generations know God and know how to walk with Him. In Jewish culture, when this was written, older generations were honored because they carried experience, wisdom, and most of all, stories of God's faithfulness. Grandparents were not viewed as people whose influence was finished. They were viewed as people who had something essential to offer. What was true then is true now. Today, we're going to consider three questions. How do we pass on a legacy of faith? What does it look like to finish well? And how do we avoid damaging the legacy God has given us? Now, I want to look again at the first part of Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men. A crown represents honor, joy, reward. The writer of Proverbs is saying that grandchildren are a gift from God. They're a reminder that life continues, influence continues, faith continues. Throughout Scripture, God introduces Himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Why? Because faith was never intended to end with one generation. God's desire has always been generational faithfulness. Psalm 145, verse 4, the psalmist said, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." God's plan is for one generation to tell the next generation what He's done. Parents and grandparents both have a role in this. The wisdom, experiences, and faithfulness of older generations becomes the foundation for younger generations to build upon. And sometimes the greatest spiritual influence in a child's life comes from a grandparent. The Apostle Paul recognized this in the life of Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul wrote regarding Timothy, "I remember the genuine faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Timothy's faith was shaped by a generation of faithful women who invested in his life. Never underestimate what simple faithfulness can do." A source of great joy for us this past year has been watching this happen in our own family. Last year, our oldest daughter, her husband, had twins, a boy and a girl. There's a generational connection there because my mother was a twin, my wife is a twin, and now my daughter had twins. But beyond the joy of having grandchildren, there's been something more meaningful to watch. Early this year, our daughter and her husband sold their home, and they started looking for a larger home to meet the needs of their growing family. The timing was challenging, and for 4 months they lived with us. And yet it was a joy watching my daughter and my son-in-law care for those babies. I enjoyed watching them develop routines and create a loving home for their children. Every night there was a process. There was the bath. Next came the pajamas, the sleeping blanket, and finally the bedtime bottle. But one thing caught my attention. As they gave those babies their bottles, both the mom and dad recited the Lord's Prayer over them. Years earlier, seeds had been planted in my daughter's heart. And now those seeds were producing fruit in the next generation. These were not extraordinary moments. It was just a mother and a father loving their children and beginning that process of pointing them to God at a very early age. That's how a godly legacy is built. Ordinary faithfulness sustained over a lifetime. I think back to my own grandmother and the impact that she had on my life. An early memory of her was preparing communion at the church we attended. My grandmother did not drive, but she only lived 2 blocks from the church. It was a beautiful, traditional, grand church, and she was responsible for preparing the communion table. The communion elements were placed on the altar the night before, and they were covered with beautiful, pressed, crisp linens. During the service, the linens were removed. People would come forward, and the pastor would personally serve each individual. My grandmother would walk to the church the first Saturday night of every month, rain, sleet, or snow, to prepare everything. I mean, did this for years. Many of those Sunday nights, I was with her. And what I remember most was not what she did. I remember how she did it. She served with joy. She loved Christ. She loved his church. And watching her faithfully serve made an impression on me in very formative years in my life. She probably never realized the impact of those ordinary Saturday nights, but God did. God did. And the encouragement I want to offer to every parent and grandparent today is this: never underestimate bedtime prayers. Never underestimate simple conversations. Never underestimate faithful attendance and service. The things that we often think are so ordinary is what God is using to shape a future generation. Now let's look at the second part of Proverbs 17, verse 6. The glory of their children are their fathers. That verse reminds us that children look up. They're watching us. They're learning from what we say and how we live. As parents and grandparents, we want those coming behind us to be able to look at their lives and look at our lives, and they see something worth following. That doesn't mean that we've got to be perfect, because there are no perfect parents. There are no perfect grandparents. What matters is genuine faith. Our children do not need to see people who've never struggled. They need to see people who know where to go when life gets tough. They need to see what it looks like to trust God in the good seasons and in the bad seasons. A legacy is not built through perfection. It is built through faithfulness. Now, here's the question. What does ordinary faithfulness look like in a family? I want to make this message very practical. And I want to mention four elements that are found in healthy homes. Now, when these elements are in place, it increases your chances of passing on your faith and values. These elements are critical to healthy families. Number one, healthy families enjoy life together. You know, sometimes we become so focused on our responsibilities, we forget to enjoy life. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul wrote, "Put your hope in God, who richly provides you with everything for your enjoyment." The Christian life is not just simply about enduring life. God wants us to enjoy His blessings along the way. And one of those blessings is family. Now, it's true children need instruction, but they also need deep and meaningful relationships within the family. They need memories. They need moments where they know they are loved, they are valued. And sometimes those moments are very simple. A game around the kitchen table, a walk in the neighborhood, a conversation in the car, a family meal, a silly joke that everyone laughs about for years to come. Never underestimate simple moments. And here's why. Those moments create relationship. And it's relationship that creates opportunities for you to provide influence. And without that relationship, it's going to be very difficult to pass on faith. Children are more likely to listen to wisdom from someone who loves them. A family should not be a place of constant pressure and criticism. It should be a place of grace, joy, and encouragement. God did not intend for a family to be like a boot camp run by drill sergeants. It should be a place where people experience the love of God. And often the most spiritual conversations happen in ordinary moments. And second, healthy families encourage growth. Your family is like a garden. If you're a gardener, you know it does not grow by itself. It's not an accident. That garden's got to be cultivated, watered, cared for. Well, the same is true spiritually. God never intends for us to stop growing. Parents need to keep growing. Grandparents need to keep growing. If you're a follower of Christ, you need to keep growing. One of the greatest gifts you can give the next generation is let them see you are in a growing relationship with God. Let them see you opening your Bible, praying, growing. One of the greatest lessons we can teach our children is that following Jesus is not something we graduate from. It's a lifelong pursuit. Luke 2:52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man." That means that Jesus grew intellectually, physically, spiritually, and relationally. That's God's design for us. When our children and grandchildren see us growing, they learn that spiritual maturity is a lifelong journey. Third, healthy families protect one another. A family should be a place of safety. It should be a place where people feel loved, valued, and never alone. Everyone is going to face storms in life, including your children. Jesus never promised His followers would have a life without difficulty. What He did promise was His presence in the middle of the storm. And families have an important role of helping one another in every season of life. Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, "Two are better than one. If one of them falls down, the other can help them up." That's what a family does. We help each other up. We walk with each other through difficult seasons. And we remind each other that God is faithful. Your children learn how to handle adversity largely from your example. When life becomes difficult, do they see you become bitter? Or do they see you trusting God? Do they see you complaining? Or do they see you praying? Do they see you giving up? Or do they see you persevering through the storm? Years ago, Pam and I walked through a challenging season caring for aging parents. We loved our parents, did the best we could, and we have no regrets. However, that doesn't mean it was always easy. It can be challenging emotionally, physically, spiritually. There was one week I was really struggling. I was tired, discouraged, and carrying a lot internally. And let me just paraphrase that for you. I had a bad attitude. Okay? Now, my oldest daughter, who was in college at the time, happened to be home. And she said something never forgotten. She said, "Dad, you love and honor your mother so well. If I could find a man and marry a man that loves and honors his mother the way you do yours, I know he'll treat me very well as his wife." Wow. God used her to change my attitude just like that. I mean, very quickly. My heart and my whole perspective changed. And see, what I realized was my daughter was not watching what I was doing. She was seeing what faithfulness looked like. She was seeing what honoring and caring for family looks like. And she was seeing that love is not something we say, it's something we do even when it's hard. But that moment, God reminded me, a godly legacy is not built by extraordinary moments, but by ordinary faithfulness sustained over a lifetime. And then fourth, healthy families care for others. You know, one of the greatest dangers in our culture is becoming so focused on ourselves. You know, the attitude of most is, "Oh, it's us four and no more." But that's not the way of Jesus. God did not save us just so he could bless us. He saved us so we could become a blessing. And our children and our grandchildren need to know they're not the center of the universe. Life does not revolve around them. They're part of something so much bigger. And they need to know they were created by God and for his pleasure. They belong to God. They are loved and valued by God. And he does have a God-given purpose for them to fulfill. Everything we have is a gift from God. Our time, abilities, resources, influence. We're not owners. We're stewards. And one of the greatest lessons we can teach the next generation is generosity and to be gracious and kind people. Teach your children to notice people who are hurting. Teach them to serve. Teach them to be kind. Teach them to speak with grace. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be gracious." If our children are going to be kind people and they're going to speak with graciousness, then they have to see kindness modeled at home. And that has everything to do with how we speak to one another. The home is the very first classroom where children learn what love looks like and what faith looks like. A beautiful example of this is found in Acts 10 with Cornelius. The Bible says Cornelius and his whole household were devout and God-fearing. Not only was Cornelius faithful, but his entire household had been shaped by his faith. That's the goal. A godly legacy is not created in one dramatic moment. It's created through everyday obedience. Deuteronomy 6:6 describes this kind of faith. It speaks to this process. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." And you notice the rhythm there. When you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you get up. Faith is woven into everyday life. And that's how legacy is built. One of the questions that Pastor Chris asked me to address was, what does it look like to finish well? Well, before I answer that, I want to say something important. Starting well matters. Developing the right spiritual disciplines at the start matters. I lead a Wednesday night group every fall, every spring, called Essentials of Spiritual Growth, where we talk about foundational disciplines necessary for a growing relationship with Christ. We talk about knowing and obeying God's word. We talk about prayer. We talk about worship. We talk about fellowship. We talk about serving and walking in the Spirit. Those things are essential for beginning well. But here's what we got to understand. The same things that help you start well are the same things that help you finish well. There's no graduation from the basics. We never outgrow our need for God's word. We never outgrow our need for worship. We never outgrow our need for dependence on Christ. Starting well is important, but now I will say finishing well is even more important. The Bible gives us examples of both. Some people began with great weakness, but finished with great faithfulness. Other people began with such promise, but slowly drifted away from God. The way you begin does not guarantee the way you finish. So what does it look like to finish well? Well, here's what I would say to you today. Number one, you stay dependent on God. One of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is reaching a place where we believe we can live independently of God. The longer we walk with Christ, it becomes easier to rely on our experience rather than on a daily relationship with Christ. Spiritual maturity is not reaching a place where you need God less. It's a place where you need God more. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said something very important. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That is true when you're beginning your spiritual journey. And you know what? It's going to be true when you are coming near the end of your journey. When Pam and I stepped away from full-time pastoral ministry in 2018, it was a season of great transition. And my original plan was to go a little longer, and truthfully, we needed to just for financial reasons and to secure our retirement. But I sensed God was leading in another direction. And you know, one of the things I've learned, God's ways are not my ways, and His time has never been my time. But if you want to be blessed, you know what? You got to get in step with God's ways and God's time, even when you don't agree with Him. He always knows what's best. You know, and Solomon is one of the great examples of this. But let me just back up. But I will tell you, when Pam and I did step down, I did say something to Pam. I said, we began our ministry journey in faith, and God has put us in a position that we have to continue it in faith. We were just as dependent on God the day we stepped out as the day we began. Truthfully, that's the way it should always be. You and I will never outgrow our need for God. And certainly Solomon is a great reminder of this truth. He was the wisest man to ever live apart from Christ. Yet later in life, he turned away from wholehearted devotion to God. And that's why we've got to remain dependent upon God throughout every season. A godly legacy is not built by people who never struggled. It's built by people who continually stay dependent on God. And then second, to finish well, stay connected to other people. God never designed the Christian life to be lived alone. We need each other. We need people who will encourage us when we're discouraged. We need people to challenge us when we're drifting. We need people to remind us of God's faithfulness. One of the greatest gifts that God gives us is faithful Christian friends. And I'm not talking about shallow relationships. I'm talking about people who know you, people who will pray for you, people who will speak truth into your life, and people who will be with you in the good times and stay by your side in the bad times. As we get older, one of the dangers is isolation. And sometimes our world becomes smaller. Our responsibilities change. But we should never withdraw from meaningful relationships. Stay connected to the body of Christ. Stay involved. Stay engaged. Continue investing in people. And here's why. Some of the greatest opportunities to leave a legacy come through relationships. Third, to finish well, stay humble and continue to grow. Pride has destroyed more people than the lack of ability ever has. The longer we walk with God, especially if we've experienced a lot of success, there is always the temptation to think, my hand achieved this. Humility reminds us, everything good in my life is because of God's grace. Every ability I've been given, every opportunity I've had in life, every blessing I've experienced, every accomplishment I have, it all came from Him. And I will add, the humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking accurately. It's recognizing, yes, you've been gifted by God, but you're also dependent on God and accountable to God. Humility will also keep you growing. A spiritually mature person desires to keep growing. People who finish well never reach the point they no longer need correction. They continue to study Scripture. They continue to seek wisdom. They continue listening. They continue to allow the Holy Spirit to influence them. The day you stop learning and the day you stop listening is the day you stop growing. And then finally, to finish well, stay faithful. Near the end of Paul's life, he said, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Now, notice what he celebrated. Paul didn't say, man, I built the largest ministry around. Paul did not say, I became the most influential person in the world other than Jesus Christ. That's not what he said. Paul said, I kept the faith. I kept the faith. See, Paul understood something about God. He knew how God measured success. God does not measure success the way the world does. God's measurement for success is faithfulness. Were you faithful to do what I called you to do? You know, in every life, there are seasons when quitting feels easier. Faithful people are not people who never became discouraged. Faithful people are those who continue to trust God through the discouragement. They kept praying. They kept giving. They kept serving. They kept showing up. That's spiritual maturity. I've always believed one of the greatest testimonies for Christ is a person who, after decades of victories and failures, joys and sorrows, mountains and valleys, can say, I still love Jesus. I still trust Jesus. God has been faithful every step of the way. That's finishing well. A godly legacy is not built by extraordinary moments, but by ordinary moments of faithfulness sustained over a lifetime. And the final question I want to address is this. How do we avoid damaging a legacy God has allowed us to build? A godly legacy takes years to build. I mean, it takes love, service, sacrifice, and certainly faithfulness. But there's something that can damage a legacy if we're not careful. The greatest threat to a godly legacy is bitterness. The enemy would love nothing more to take someone who has walked faithfully with God for so many years and allow the final chapters of their life to be defined by resentment, anger, and disappointment. Well, why is that? A damaged legacy has influence. Bitterness does not stay confined to our own hearts. Bitterness affects marriages, children, grandchildren. It affects our friendships. It affects the church. Not only does bitterness change the way you see your past, but it will change how others remember you. The longer we live, the more opportunities we have to experience disappointment. Now, I'm not being negative. This is just life. The longer you live, the more opportunities you're going to have to experience disappointment. And there's so many forms of disappointment. There's family disappointments. You may have prayed faithfully. You may have taught your children about God. You may have done everything right. And yet someone you love still made choices that broke your heart. That pain is real. There's career disappointments, dreams that never materialized, opportunities that disappeared, plans that turn out the way you hope. There are financial disappointments. There's disappointments with people, even disappointments within the church. And everyone experiences painful losses that come with life. The loss of health, the loss of a spouse, a friend, or abilities you once enjoyed. If those disappointments are not surrendered to God, they slowly turn into bitterness. Healing only comes when we bring our pain and our disappointments to the Lord and we trust Him with what we cannot understand. One of the enemy's greatest lies is to convince faithful people to measure their entire life by one painful chapter. Let me say this again. Do not measure your life by one painful chapter. And here's why. Your story isn't finished. How do I know? Well, you're here. You're breathing. You're alive. Your story is not complete. The final chapter is not written. God is still working in your life and writing your story. Bitterness begins when we hold on too tightly to the life we thought we deserved instead of the life that we experienced. No one understands undeserved suffering better than Jesus. You know, at the cross, Jesus experienced betrayal, abandonment, false accusations, certainly physical suffering. yet he refused to allow suffering to produce bitterness within him. He prayed, Father, forgive them. The pain was real. The injustice was real. But bitterness never took root. That's what gives us hope. You and I cannot control the things that happen to us. But by the grace of God, we can choose what will remain in us. Pain may visit a life, but bitterness does not have to stay there. The antidote to bitterness, it is forgiveness. It is surrendering to Christ and trusting that He is working even though you cannot see the outcome. Romans 8:28 is such a precious promise to stand on, to rely on, especially when you're walking through a difficult season. Paul wrote there, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. That does not mean that everything that happens to us is good. Some things are painful. Some things are heartbreaking. But God is greater than our pain. God can redeem what we thought was lost, and God can bring purpose from those things we think are meaningless. And all I'm saying to you here is don't allow bitterness to ever write the final chapter of your story. As we close today, I want us to remember something important. As all of us grow older, there'll be some form of influence that will naturally decrease. Our physical strength may not be what it once was. Our professional accomplishments become a thing of the past. But what should continue is our influence through wisdom. That's one of God's beautiful designs. You may retire from a career, but you never retire from leaving a legacy. And even though we focus today on children and grandchildren, our legacy extends beyond our immediate family. You know, look around this church. There are young couples who need encouragement. There are young parents who need wisdom. There are young believers who need someone to show them what a lifetime of following Christ looks like. They do not need perfection. They just need faithfulness. They need people who've walked through victories and failures, joys and sorrows, mountains and valleys. They need people who can say, God has been faithful every step of the way. And I want you to hear me on this. One conversation, one prayer, one encouraging word from you can make a difference in someone's life. You can influence the next generation. Now, back to what I said at the very beginning of the message, it's on the screen for you again. A godly legacy is not built by extraordinary moments, but by ordinary faithfulness sustained over a lifetime. At the very end of life, very few people wish they'd accumulated more money or possessions. They don't wish they'd worked more. No, what matters most is faith. What matters is family. What matters are the people whose lives were changed because we walk faithfully with Christ. Proverbs tells us, children's children are the crown of the age. Your greatest wealth will not be what you leave to the next generation. Your greatest wealth is going to be in what you leave in the next generation. Say the word in. I want you to remember that. It's not what you leave to, but it's what you leave in the next generation that's going to be important. And my prayer is that when our race is finished, our children, our grandchildren, and those who have watched our lives can say, they love Jesus. They trusted Jesus, and they remained faithful to Christ all the days of their life. And because of their example, I want to follow Christ too. That's a legacy worth living. I want you to stand with me, and our praise and worship team be making their way back. I always pray that God will show me how to conclude a service, and this is one of those times that God did not show me until the end of the second service. I don't know if you know me that well, but I'm kind of like Pastor Chris. I like all my ducks lined up, and I don't like surprises. And so this morning I thought, God, you're not showing me. What? Well, how am I supposed to conclude this service? And I thought, okay, you're kind of requiring I stay dependent on you, aren't you? I'm having to live what I preach. So I thought, okay, so sure enough, as I was approaching the end of the first service, God immediately dropped in my spirit. what I'm supposed to pray and who I'm supposed to pray for. I want to pray for people who are going through painful chapters right now. And you know, painful chapters, there's no age limit. Painful chapters can happen to those in their 20s, 30s, 40s. I mean, on up. There's no limit there, age limit. And but when we're going through those painful chapters, it's usually a time of uncertainty. And sometimes it's so hard to see your way out. And you think, is this ever going to end? But I just felt the Lord dropped in my spirit to pray for those going through painful chapters right now. And He wants you to know this is not the final chapter. The page is going to be turned. The next chapter will begin and a better season will begin. But when you're walking through that painful chapter, you need God's grace. You need His presence. You need His encouragement. So I just like every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want you to be honest with God. No one's going to see your hand other than me and God. But if you're going through a painful chapter, just raise your hand. I think it's important you be honest with God. Be honest with God. He sees you. He sees you. Lord, You see the men and women who are saying, I'm going through a painful chapter right now. Well, I'm going to thank You, first of all, in faith, that this chapter is not going to define their life. It's just one chapter in the middle of the book. Lord Jesus, but as they're walking through this season, I pray right now they're going to experience Your presence, that Your Holy Spirit is going to infuse them with hope and with faith. They're going to feel comfort. They're going to feel grace. Oh, God, just let them feel Your love in this moment. And I pray that You're going to give them wisdom, wisdom to walk through this. You say that You order the steps of righteous men and women. You also will give wisdom to all those who ask. So, Lord, give these men and women wisdom on how to walk through this season. And I thank You in faith, a better season is coming. And I thank You when that season comes, they're going to be able to look back and say, yes, God was faithful and God has made it all work for the good. Lord, bless them today. Bless them today. And Lord, let them feel Your presence and knowing that You're with them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, there's one more thing I want to ask you to do if you raise your hand. I want you to find a Christian friend to pour your heart out to this week and let them pray for you. There have been some challenges I never got through until I opened up my heart and shared with a friend and let them pray for me. We need each other. And I think sometimes God does that because He's showing you, I want you to learn to depend on me, but I also want you to learn to rely on your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that you're one big family, and we help each other up when one falls down. But find someone to pray with, and I'll leave you with this final thought. Remember when Job went through the most difficult season of his life? I mean, it was a dark and painful chapter. You know when it ended? It was when his friends prayed for him. You go back and look in Scripture. It says when his friends prayed for him, God changed everything. So there's something about depending upon God and being open and vulnerable with your friends. And if you're the friend, you just listen. You don't have to have answers. Don't make any judgment. You just listen, and then you pray with them. You pray with them, and it can make a difference. God bless you. And I'm telling you, the page on that difficult season, that difficult chapter, is about to come to an end. The page is going to be turned. And the best is yet to come in Christ.
Thanks for joining us today at Christian Chapel Online. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit christianchapel.com. If there's something that we can pray with you about, please visit christianchapel.com/prayer. If you'd like to partner with us to tell more people the good news of Jesus, you can do that at christianchapel.com/give. If you're in the Tulsa area, again, we want to invite you to join us in person to experience the fullness of life in Christian community. And if you're outside the area, I can't encourage you enough to find a local group of believers where you can worship and serve together. God bless you. I hope you have a great week.